Amen. What a wonderful time for prayer. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. Number one, for your blood. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that through the sacrifice on Calvary, we have life and we have it more abundantly. And so today, God, as we come together, we celebrate on this Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate the risen Lord. We celebrate what you have given us so freely because you loved us. And so today, God, we exalt you. We praise you. We're subject to you. And God, we pray that we decrease so that you may increase so that the Holy Spirit can do what the Holy Spirit is going to do in this house today. So Father, come and do what you do. You're already in this place, God. So we pray that you would do a miracle in the hearts of your people, that not one soul will leave this place not unedified, but that every soul will be edified and that your goal will be accomplished in our lives. Father, thank you and have your way. In Jesus' name, God's people say,
amen.
Man, y'all wonderful. Y'all gonna make it easy for me today. Amen. Anyway, I just want to introduce myself. As Pastor said, my name is Angelo, and I'm the program director of Tennessee Valley Teen Challenge. I'm basically Jim Farrakis' right-hand man. What a blessing to be a part of Teen Challenge and a ministry that disciples and preaches the gospel and see deliverance, see miracles. We see the blind see again, the deaf hear again. We see marriages be put back together. I'm just so glad to be a part of that transforming work. Hey, Tina, good to see you. Amen. It's good to be here. Amen. So we're a part of that. Amen. These are my bodyguards. I call them men in black. Amen. But they're wonderful. And I'm here to declare that the Lord Jesus Christ has transformed every single one of these boys. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. And it all started by one little country preacher by the name of David Wilkerson, okay? David Wilkerson was a skinny guy, okay? But he had such a passion for the things of the kingdom of God that God took that passion and caused it to do something amazing 52 years later. Now we have 238 centers across the United States of America. We have centers in Puerto Rico. We have centers in New York, all across from west to east. They're there. Amen. Because we believe that a 12-step process is not what you need. We believe that it's a one-step process that changes a life, and that is the individual and that gives their life to Christ is what we need. A one-step to surrender causes transformation. And so we believe that through that one decision and trusting God that our lives can be transformed, and now we can see what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God that He has for every single one of us. Because God is a God of destiny. God is a God that has purpose. And so if you're in the house today or you are here on this earth, God has a destiny for you, and the enemy and the world and darkness and all those things tend to hinder us. But praise God that God, while we were yet in our sins, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to set us anew and show us again what is that path that the Lord intended for us to walk in. Amen?
Amen.
I was a drug addict. I was a loser. I was a gang member. According to the world, I was a castaway. But God, in His own time, shed His mercy upon me, gave me a new life, gave me a new purpose, and now I can proclaim His name all over the place. God, I wish Washington would get that. Amen? Amen. You know, the name of Jesus has not lost power yet. I don't know why people think that the name of Jesus has lost power. Listen, the name of Jesus changes things. Amen. In the early church, when the disciples went around speaking about Christ, you know what the enemy said about them? Who are these that turned the world upside down? What they were doing, they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, because in the name of Jesus Christ, there is great authority and there's great power to do great things over the enemy. So although the enemy looks like he's inching in and having the ground, I have to declare to him that he lost according to the word of the living God. Amen. So we are victorious today. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, no matter how the world is challenging your faith, you must know today that God said you are going to win. Amen. You're going to win. There's no addiction. There's no hopelessness, joblessness. There's no marital problems. There's no financial problems. There's no circumstance that can keep us from the love of Christ. Amen? Because we are victors. Amen? To the glory of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to take an opportunity. Back about 8 years ago, about 10 years ago, God began to give us a vision to bring Teen Challenge to this community because we saw that the drug epidemic was on uprise. I mean, there was people overdosing, there was people going to jail, families were being destroyed. The enemy was using this addiction, this drug problem, this meth problem, this pill problem, this heroin problem, cocaine problem, to destroy our communities. And so one day, a family lost their son. And they were devastated. And they began, we have to do something about this. And so that's when they began to bring in Teen Challenge into our communities. And I'm going to tell you something. 10 years later, God has done an amazing work. We have a facility that has about 21 men, amen, right now being discipled every day. We have outpatient programs and 5 surrounding counties, and we're looking to increase because we believe that the kingdom of God must increase. As long as we're still living in this age of grace, we have a gospel to proclaim. We have a word to share with the world that Jesus is the only way, according to the book of John chapter 14 verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way, not 12 steps. There's no government program that can do this. It's only one way, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, He is powerful. I know that, not because somebody told me about it, because I have experienced change falling off my life. Amen. I was addicted to cocaine for 12 years, but that name of Jesus, one touch, did it all. That's all it took is one touch. Amen. Family member said, this guy would never amount to nothing. Even some certain folks said, this guy's just lost. There's no hope for him. I'm here to tell you, just one touch from Jesus Christ. One touch can change your life. God can turn you upside down. Amen. And He can do something radical. And you're going to hear 2 testimonies today of God's saving power in their lives. Just amazing. I love testimonies because they declare the power of God. Amen. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to have our man of excellence come up now. This time they're going to sit up before me, and I want to see, and this is Daniel. Daniel, say hello to everybody. He's our praise and worship leader. God has done an amazing work in his life. And I want Brother Brent to come forward. Brother Brent, how you doing today? Amen. He is going to share what God done in his life. And I want you to listen because, man, this guy is amazing at what he went through. But it shows again the love of Christ transforming his life. So is there a mic back there? Can you grab me that mic? We'll bring it back to you. Share your testimony, brother. Thank you.
Like I said, my name's Brent. I'm 47 years old. As you can see, I'm not a teenager. I'm from Humboldt, Tennessee, down the road here. Grew up on the weekends at Big Sandy, up at Country Junction, Sorrels and stuff. When I woke up one morning when I was 8 years old. Okay, my mom, from the time I was born, had me in church. You know, this is in South Jackson. And I woke up one morning at 8 years old, and all the family members were in the house. And I thought it was I thought it was some kind of new holiday or something. But everybody was crying, and I found out due to drug usage and adultery, it had driven my dad to commit suicide. Mm. You know, in front of my mother, the worst part of it all. And wow. At that point, at 8 years old, I was mad at God, real mad at God. You know, why do we even go to church? What's this all about? I thought, you know, everything's good in the world until something like that happens to you. And you realize something's really wrong in this world here. Well, you know, I'd heard, you know, I knew the devil and hell and all this, but I didn't realize how much authority that the devil has over the air, over the world here. He's the prince, you know, and, so, you know, Mama kept, you know, she's a strong lady. She kept me in church. We, you know, me and my sister's 1 year older than I am. I told myself at 8 years old I would never get married and I would never bring a kid into this world. That's how much I thought the world was messed up, you know. And as life went on, I met a girl. She wound up getting pregnant. You know, like I said, I had an older sister, a year older than me. And at that point in time, I never even picked out a girl, boy's name when she got pregnant. You know, I knew it was going to be a boy's name. I knew it was going to be a girl. You know, I felt like I was walking in my dad's footsteps is what I felt like. 9 months down the road, she gets pregnant again. I never pick out a girl's name. I knew it was going to be a boy, you know, just whatever. And it was. So I had a boy and a girl. But at this point in time, I had turned to drugs my whole life. You know, I told myself one time I would never cheat on my wife, but I'll do every drug in the world to prove that that's not what killed my dad, you know. Just a messed up person, you know, I was just messed up bad. And as time went on, I started getting in trouble, you know. Started messing with meth. Meth came around back in, it was probably 87 or 88 when I did my first meth in Humboldt, Tennessee. I never slowed down. You know, it was something I loved. It, you know, it gave you everything you wanted. But little did I know, it's straight from hell. It's straight from the devil. It'll take everything you got. Everything. It'll take your families, your job, and your soul. It'll take it from you. Over the years, you know, I was dealing drugs, dealing meth for years and years. I've been to prison 3 times. This last time I went to the feds, I ended up going to the feds, and I did 3 years there, and then I had another charge on me in Crockett County over in Alamo, Tennessee, for a robbery, aggravated robbery. And I'm not a robber. I went out collecting dope debts with a gun, but that ended up with an aggravated robbery charge. When I was at Crockett County, there was a minister that came there faithfully. Every week he came there, whether if one person came out and listened to him or the whole pod came out and listened to him. And so this man touched me, you know, he touched my heart. And I said, you know, I'm going to go to church when I get out. Everything's going to be different this time. Everything's going to be different this time. You know, my mother had heard it time and time again. My kids had heard it time and time again. And so I go out and I'm going to church, got a job. You know, jumping through the hoops for the federal probation and for the state probation and stuff. Everything's going good. Next thing I know, I let the devil slip in and steal from me again because it was like November, first November, and I was planning on getting the kids Christmas and the family Christmas and everything's going good. And next thing I know, I'm cutting back to 3 days a week at my job. Well, I've got people out there from my, you know, I've always been connected with it, and I start dealing dope again. And it didn't take long at all. You know, I got so deep in it when my boss said, are you ready to go back to work 40 hours? Now I'm into the money part of it. You know, I'm making 5 times what I was making at work, and I just, the devil wouldn't let me go back. I got real deep in it with some real bad people. And there was things that were coming in my future that I would never have been able to forgive myself for, much less, you know, come back from. I woke up on the side of the road, and I don't sleep on the side of the road, y'all. There is divine intervention in this. God will never take his hand off of you. He'll never leave you behind, y'all, no matter how bad your life's been. I woke up on the side of the road with the police in my face, and first thing I thought was, God, it's over with. Thank you. It's over with. You parked me again. You're not going to let me fall and stay down and go back to hell where I've been living my whole life. When I got to jail, I called my mom, and she's just, rah, I told you. And I said, Mama, I'm right where God wants me. She said, you're in jail. I said, Mama, I'm going to Teen Challenge. I'm headed to Teen Challenge, and I'm not a teenager, y'all, but I knew I had a father-in-law that when he got saved, it was at a charismatic church in Jackson called Christ the King, and I was going to church there with him. Me and my wife, my kids were young, and this man did a 180. He did a 180 to the point that he drove a gravel truck at the time, and he drives the parable up there to the gravel pit up there and parks in the east. You know, facing east, the first truck there opens his Bible and waits for Jesus to come out of the east, you know, and spirit-filled man. And he's a donator. He's involved with a place called Men on a Mission. It's a bunch of men in churches, and they meet and stuff. But anyway, they donated to Teen Challenge. And I knew that spiritually-wise, he's right. I knew if he was donating to Teen Challenge, he had to, you know that it's a good ministry. The court systems, you know, I was looking at 12 to 20 years this time, and the court system told me, said, Brent, you're not a teenager. You know, I said, you call this number, this number, and this number. You know, well, we can get you into Ashland Manor over here. All you got to do is 6 months on this. You know, if you go this route right here, we can probably get you 6 months, you know, doing rehab in this. I said, no. I said, y'all are going to send me. I want a long-term rehab. I want something that has a curriculum that teaches me how to live, how to become a new man, how to be a new person, you know. And they said, well, we don't know what you got. I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. Either you send me to Teen Challenge or you send me to prison again, one of the two. I said, I'm not going anywhere else. And it took 8 months in the county jail to finally get it done. And I knew I was already accepted to Teen Challenge, but there was 4 months there that I ended up staying for whatever reason, trying to get the feds lined up with it because, you know, they were trying to send me to Teen Challenge without me going in front of the federal judge. And I knew that the U.S. Marshals would come put me on the ground, you know, once I got there. But anyway, God's got his fingerprints on everything. And there were Bible studies started in there, prayer meetings in there in the county jail. And I have a passion for the guys on the streets out there that they don't have to live that way anymore, y'all. Nobody has to live in a drug-controlled environment, you know. Any life-controlling situation, Jesus will, he'll save you, man. He will change you. He'll change your heart. Well, when I got to Teen Challenge, I wasn't there probably a week. And I guess back when I was 13, 14, I probably got wet. You know, I can't even remember the day that Mama wanted me to get saved, you know. And I'm not saying that I didn't get saved back then, but I never made Jesus my Lord. And when I got to Teen Challenge, we were having worship service. It was Brother Jim, the director, his son was doing the praise and worship. And this guy's anointed. He's real anointed when it comes to his music. And I start heading up the stairs, you know, after the service, with the Lifeline service we were having. And some his voice said, go back downstairs, Brent. Okay. I go back downstairs, and Dimitri, that's his son's name, he's still playing, you know, and singing. And I bowed my head, and I cried for 2 hours probably sitting there, you know, and just cleaned my soul out. But let me back up a little bit why I was probably cleaning some of my soul. That was when I had, you get phone interviews with what's Dennis's title? Does he have a title?
Yeah, he's the intake coordinator.
He's the intake coordinator. So I had to call and do like a 15, 20, 30 minute interview with him from jail. And he said, well, what do you want, Brent? And I told him, you know, I want to change my life. I want a new life. I want to get saved. I want to be baptized in water and the Holy Ghost. You know, I want it all. And he said, Brent, he said, your heart's right. He said, the devil was going to come after you. I buried my sister the day before I came to Teen Challenge. You know, I had a car wreck and killed her. But I mean, it's rough and I miss her. Don't get me wrong. I miss her and I hate it for my nieces and my mother more than I, you know, but, the devil will come after you. You know, when you're living for him, he don't care. He'll let you run. He'll let you go. He'll let you destroy everybody's lives out there selling dope and doing what you're doing. You know, and, but when your heart gets right, he's going to knock on your door. But if you stand strong, just stand strong, man, you know. He who's in me is greater than he who is in the world, you know. I got a verse, and it's the one I'll stand on till the day I die. And it's Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, he who seeks will find. He who asks shall receive. And knocking on that door, when God opens it, walk through it, people. Don't say, God, that's not what I want to do. You better take a step through it, you know. There's a book I read, on one of my contracts, it's called Not a Fan. And it's one of the most powerful books I've ever read. It says, you know, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Don't be a fan of it, you know. I know everybody believes in Jesus, even the demons, you know. So we're supposed to go out there every day. And I got a home pass. When I went on a home, I kind of went through a little dry spell there for a minute at the center. And when I got my first home pass, everywhere I went, Walmart, McDonald's, when I looked in somebody's face, you can see the suffering in people out there. You can tell the hollowness in their eyes. And Jesus loves you and I love you. It's when the flesh says, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But the spirit says, do it. And it took me to the next level by me sharing, you know, to witnessing to people, you know. And I just thank y'all for having us here today. And like I said, Teen Challenge is it's a good ministry. It changes lives. You know, if it can bring me to where I'm at, it can bring anybody there. You know, I thank y'all for having me.
You know, one of the things that we believe in Teen Challenge is none of us can force anybody to choose Christ. Amen. I believe that the grace of God comes to us, and every man and woman has to make that decision at that time, whether or not they want to surrender. Amen. And that's why I love God's sovereignty. He gives us the option to choose. And I'm so glad that we choose Him. And in doing that, He empowers us, amen, to have hope again, to speak positive again, to believe again, and to see great and mighty things. God is looking to do great and mighty things. God is looking to do some incredible things. But it's up to us to invite Him in into our environment and begin to do what He wants to do. Amen. Now, you know, you may be a little dirty in the living room and the master bedroom and be a little out of chaos. Hey, listen, He is the perfect designer. Amen. And when He'll come in, if we let Him, He'll make it look beautiful and He'll do a great thing. And the thing about Teen Challenge is that, you know, we have it set up in such a way to where we're constantly exposing them to the Word of God. You know, the heart is sometimes like concrete. It's just like steel before we come to Christ. We're hardened by the sinfulness and deceitfulness of the world. And so what we do is we take the Word of God and we place it on top of the heart. And then we keep exposing them to worship, to services, altar times, preaching of the word, class time, and the curriculum. They deal with a lot of different subjects like how to overcome temptation, how to live in the supernatural. Amen. We are supernatural people. We live supernaturally. Amen. We're not weak. Amen. We're empowered. We're great. We're above this earth. Amen. We're from a kingdom that is above no other kingdom. Amen. Our kingdom is amazing and is greater than what I can see, touch, hear, and feel. Amen. We believe that. And so we take them to a curriculum hoping that along the way they touch Jesus, just a little part of Jesus. We know that one touch of His presence can mean the difference from being saved and being empowered to do what God has called you to do. You know, Brother Brand is amazing. He has a desire to take this gospel back to his community. He has put me in the office and talked to me in the hallways and said, Brother Vega, God did not save me to sit on a pew. He said, God has saved me because I feel that He is calling me to take this gospel back to my community. There's nothing there to proclaim Christ, and I want to be the vessel. I want to be the man that He sends forth, amen, which must see. I want to be that individual that can share Christ to a family or a lost person or a drug addict that needs to know about Jesus. He said, I want to be that man. I looked at him, I said, man, I'll tell you what, this is the beginning of greatness. Keep that passion. Keep that hope. But above all, make sure that it's guided by the Holy Spirit. And He will bring provision. He will open up a way that there seems to be no way. And He'll enable you and empower you to do just that. So I believe He's going to do something great because of where He comes from. Amen? God is good. So at this point, we want to go and praise God together. So praise Him. The Bible says that when praises goes up, the blessing come down. Amen? So let's worship the King of Kings and the King of Glory. Brother Daniel.
Give life, You are love, You bring light to the darkness, You give hope, You restore, every heart is broken, great are You, Lord, Your breath, Lord, it's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to You only.
Chapter 8. Here recently, I've been hearing a lot about a story. And we all heard different sermons on this, but it's about the woman with the issue of blood. You've heard it preached before? And when I'm thinking about this story, I got thinking about our lives, because here we have a lady who is desperate to have a touch from on high. The Bible says that she has expanded everything, spent everything, went after everything, sought every single solution that there can be. And yet at the very end of that, she still ended up empty. And as I got to reading about her, there was something about it, it was amazing, and it was her desperation. See, I believe that God will respond to the level of our hunger. The more hungry you are of God, the more you will experience of God if you chase after Him with everything that is within you. Because in the scriptures we read from Genesis to Revelation, God's ultimate desire for us is His pursuit for me and you. It's His love for me and you. Everything He ever done in the scriptures has the seal and the mark of a God who loves His creation, who desires to be with us, who desires to empower us. But yet, sometimes it seems that life is hard. In this particular story, the Bible says she wasted everything. I mean, she took her retirement, she took her aspirations, she took her hope, she took everything that she possibly had and gave it away, chasing things that never could bring solution to her situation. Just like a drug addict, just like people like what we used to be, amen? We chase drugs, we chase gang activity, we chase the things of the world, and at the very end of it, instead of us receiving, we ended up empty until we were so low that the light of Christ began to shine in. Think about it. And you know, sometimes the world will throw everything at us to keep us from pressing forward. In the story, you will read that there was people everywhere. There was confusion everywhere. There was excitement everywhere. There was a mob of crowd. Jesus came and people were everywhere. And this woman could not get to him. But that the crowd began to keep her from her making her way. But she was determined. That's the word I'm looking for. To reach. The only thing that mattered to her, the people that did not matter to her, the circumstances that mattered to her, the people that were trying to get her not to reach Jesus didn't matter to her. She had one thing in sight, and that's the glorious Jesus. That's the Savior of the world. He's the one that is preaching the kingdom. He's the one that is hated. He's the one that is given hope. He's the one that is given life. He's the one that is raising the dead. He's the one that is cleansing the leper. He's the one that is healing those that are oppressed by demons. She had her all these things, and in this one instance she said, I had enough with the enemy and the world taken away from what God was trying to do in my life. And the Bible says she began to push people, she began to press through the crowd. Jesus didn't know she was inching in, and in one instance she reached out and just touched the garment, just the hem of her garment, just a little piece of Jesus. It cost everything to stop. The Savior of the world, the Prince, the King of Kings, turned around and said, wait a minute, somebody touched me here. Somebody reached out. Somebody did something. I felt virtue come out of me. Peter, like always, big mouth that he is, he said, God, are you crazy, Jesus? Don't you see all these people? And yet you say that somebody touched you, Jesus. No, 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 no. You don't understand, Peter. This is more than just a regular touch. This is a spiritual touch. This is a woman who had lost everything but needed Jesus so desperately. Jesus said, this is a different touch. It reminds me of the Teen Challenge guys, how they squander every hope, how they squandered every opportunity, how they hurt family members. They went after the drugs. They went after all that. But when they heard about Jesus, they reached out. They pushed the crowds to the side and they touched just a little inch of Jesus. And today, this is what we got. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I have a lot of people always tell me, are you still in Teen Challenge? I say, you bet I am. As long as I can disciple to a disciple of life or preach Jesus or minister the gospel, I'm going to be there. Because it's worth it, y'all. It's worth it, y'all. No matter how far they're gone, it's worth it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What a testimony. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I want Brother Stephen to come forward real quick. And Brother Stephen Phoenix, man, I love this brother. He came to us broken. Devil drug you through a mess. But man, God saved you. I'm gonna share, let me see that microphone for a minute. I want you to share with God's people what He's done in your life. Thank you, Stephen.
Good morning, church. I want to thank y'all for supporting Teen Challenge and for supporting what they do for us. You know, they allow an environment for God to move and for us to be able to learn the Word of God and inform the work within us and to make us new creations. And I want to honor each and every one of y'all for coming to church this morning and for denying the world and denying your flesh and for allowing the Holy Spirit of God to move within y'all, because I feel it in here and it's a good feeling. See, I was born into a family. I'm 26 years old. I was born in 1989 in Jackson, Tennessee. I was born into a family that had a lack of God. You know, we didn't go to church. From what I've heard, my grandparents did, but it fell off somewhere within my parents. And it was a lot of drug use, a lot of bar room, a lot of beer, scene, biker, motorcycle gang. You know, growing up, I thought, for some reason, I thought going to prison and stuff was a part of growing up. You know, it was real. I was led real falsely, you know. And so happiness wasn't there. There was no joy. There was no peace. There was no love. There wasn't much love within my home. We didn't say it much. And I always felt like something was missing. But I always felt like it was something I wasn't pushing hard enough to do, you know, as far as money or drugs or this or that and the other. And when I was 10 years old, my father passed away of a drug overdose. And at that time, I just kind of rebelled against everything. You know, it got real heavy on me, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't have God in my life. I didn't nobody talk with me about it. My mother, nobody. It just kind of left me to the side to deal with it. And by the time I was 13 years old, I was doing methamphetamines, full blown, smoking marijuana, drinking. None of that was held back in my life. It went wide open for the next years on out, and I began to tear myself apart. Okay, I was looking for peace and love and joy. Little did I know the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And until you come to the terms with that and start living for the Lord, you will destroy yourself. And sin will always take you farther than you want to go. And it starts out with the small things. You know, for people that come to church, and I honor the young guys and women here and ladies that come to church, it starts with the small things as your devotion, reading the Bible and stuff. If you start doing a lack of that, sin will start coming in, whether it's music or cigarettes or the crowd at school. You know that y'all have, you see people that don't go to church or talk about God or want to listen to worldly music and stuff, and we think it's cool and we think it, you know, seem like the thing to do, but that little things like that will take you a lot farther than you want to go. I went to juvenile from 14 to 18. That was a real hard time in my life, and I don't understand why, but they did not have the teaching of the Word of God. The Bible was not in any of them programs. I carried on to, you know, I tried to get clean and sober with that AA and NA, but there wasn't God in it. And I was a dry drunk, is what they call it, dry drunk or whatever. And without God being in it, it still seemed like something was missing. And I ended up falling back into drugs, and I did a lot of time in jails and in prisons. And at the end of my road here, before I found God, you know, I had to get to a real low point in my life. You know, I go home, and I have this new old lady and stuff, and she's pregnant. But everything was still miserable. There still was no love, no peace, no joy, because we was on drugs as well. And I hated this, but it seemed like I couldn't get out of it. No matter how hard I tried to quit, you know, we'd stay clean for a week and fall right back into it. I go home to my mother, and she's wide open on drugs, and it was just killing me inside to see this. It seemed like there was no hope, there's no way out, and I knew it was the enemy, okay? I knew it was the devil. I knew he had a hold on my whole family, and it seemed like there was nothing I could do about it. I felt like the church and the Bible was not a way out for me. I'm not like these people. I didn't understand anything about the Bible at this time. Well, I come in the Teen Challenge, and my son was born September 15th, and I've yet to hold my son or see my son, but God's working that out. If I take care of his business, he'll take care of mine. And a few months later, this is how the devil works. And this is how God works too, you know. A few months later, I get baptized on a Thursday night. And little did I know, my mother died that night. And I remember feeling something was kind of pulling me away. Like it was a real important time in my life to be baptized, but something was kind of pulling at me. And I didn't know exactly what it was, you know. I just felt the distance. Well, I read in the Bible right after that the next morning. You know, I got told that night, and the next morning my devotion was about where Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist in chapter 3 of Matthew, and in the beginning of chapter 4, the devil come and tempted him. And when you become a Christian, that's when things get harder, because the devil understands that we're valuable in spreading the word of God throughout the world, you know, and he wants to try to stop us with things. And if it wasn't for God in my life and for Teen Challenge, with providing me a place and to be taught the Word of God and everything, there's no telling where I'd be today with my mother passing away and things of that nature. And there's a verse I like in Matthew. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all of you who are tired of carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. And and today I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized in the water. I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues. And It's really amazing because years ago when I was younger, I've seen people that speak in tongues and we made fun of them. You know, we didn't understand it, but I thought it was the biggest hoax I ever seen. But today it's the realest thing I ever seen. And I tell you right, there is nothing like the presence of God. I can feel it all in here. It reminds me of when I was a little kid, I'd go to my grandparents' house, and you could feel the love and the joy of God at my grandparents' house when I was real little, and that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of being at home, you know. And if ain't nobody told you today, I love you, and God loves you too. Thank y'all.
I love this brother Stephen. He's just an amazing guy. He's been delivered from so much. He's lost his mother, and you know, he's working on being a witness to his family. But God has a purpose in his life, and he is going to be a guy that's going to be a discipler of men. And I proclaim it, I believe it, that the Lord has put this in my heart, that you're going to change a lot of lives. It's not going to be something where you're going to be on stage speaking to 2,000 people, but it's going to be a thing to where you're going to be working behind the scenes, behind another leader, and you're going to be a powerful person impacting lives. Your story is going to change people because God has ordained it so. Amen. That's why I love what the prophet Haggai declared in chapter 2 in the book of Haggai, verse 9. And here's what the word of the Lord says. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In peace will I give it, and peace will I declare to you, saith the Lord. So whatever was in our lives, guess what? After Christ, A.D., after Christ, guess what? It's going to be more glorious. Well, that's going to be why? Because that fire, amen? That fire, that city on a hill, it's going to illuminate the darkness of the valley. And the gospel of Jesus Christ will continue to go forth. We're going to continue to change lives. And we're going to change this community. We're going to change Savannah. We're going to change Jackson. We declare Lexington for the kingdom of God. Amen. We declare Decatur County for the kingdom of God. Henderson for the kingdom of God. Amen. There's going to be a movement of the Spirit. Why do I say that, church? I say that because God is making an investment, not only in lives, but y'all getting ready to go build. Y'all getting ready to have an increase, amen? You're going to have an influence. Teen Challenge is getting ready to build. Guess what happened with Teen Challenge? Boy, did we take the offering already? Make sure. I heard a pastor tell me, brother, you never tell them how much you're blessed until you get the offering. And then you don't. I'm just joking. Amen. Here's the deal. Money follows ministry, amen? Not the other way around. We put the ministry first and God takes care of the details. But here's what happened. Just 3 months ago, Teen Challenge was granted $1 million. $1 million. Hallelujah. And just about 3 weeks ago, we signed off and bought a 20,000 square feet building so that we can double our capacity. And then we're going to take our old building that houses about 21 beds, and we're going to convert it to a women's program. So we're going to minister to men and women for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the grant that was granted to us works like a loan. You know, you got to have some skin in it. That's the kind of term they use. So they require us to raise $100,000, and then the other $900,000 they would throw in, and then we're going to do this thing. So we're working at it. We're already have raised about $40,000, and I believe that in less than 2 months, we're going to have the other $60,000. We're going to go to those people and say, here's our part. Let's get this thing going. Amen. Because as long as Jesus did not come back yet, guess what? We have a world to win. We have a gospel to proclaim. We got a work to do. Amen. All right. So it's not just leaders. It's you. You are the ones who will go forth into the community and preach the gospel and bring them in. Amen. The pastor, he will equip. Leaders will equip. But we are those that proclaim the glory of God. Amen. And so I declare to Washington, I declare to the Middle East, I declare to the whole world, there's only one King, and He is the way. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So here's what we're going to do. Now, I can preach. You know, I'm a Puerto Rican. I'm a New Yorker. I can preach all day long, but we run out of time. But here's what I want to do. I want you to know that if you're going through something today, if there's something in your life that hinders you from experiencing the full blessing of what God has for you, the altars will be open. There'll be an opportunity, amen, for you to come. See, this is where it's at. This is where it happens right here. This is where transformation takes place. This is where God begins to break chains, amen, in the altar, in this place where we finally come to that place where we say, God, destroy me so that you can build me. Amen. When I first got born again, you know what happened to me? When I got up out of that floor, I knew that the old man stayed down there. And it was a new man that was created by the power of God. Amen. But I had to have an altar experience in order for me to be born again and experience what God had for me. Today, there's people here. I feel it in my heart. There's things that are worrying you. There's financial problems. There's stresses that life naturally just brings upon us. I heard a man once say that there's three things that are true in our lives. We're either coming out of a situation, we're going into a situation, or we're already in a situation. All three of those elements sometimes seem to come upon us and try to destroy the faith that is in us. But I'm telling you, Christ is greater than those things that are in the world. So today, if there's something hindering you from experiencing God, please don't leave this sanctuary. Please don't leave the house of the Lord the same. Please allow the Holy Spirit to do that work on the inside of you. He can do it, and He is good at what He does. Amen. You just have to say, Lord, I allow you to do it. And Lord, I receive what you have for me today. Because we're a people that are born to walk in freedom. God did not set us free so that we can remain in bondage. He set us free so that we can be free indeed to do what He accomplished us to do. Amen? Christian people should be the most courageous people there is in the world. Amen? We're not afraid of anything because we have heaven and we have the kingdom of God behind us. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we thank you for that. And so I want to give you that opportunity. We're going to sing. And through this last song, if the Lord Jesus touches you and you feel a need to come to the altar, please let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. But God is gentle too. He'll speak to your heart. You have to respond. Here's what the Bible says. If you respond to God, He'll respond back to you. So what is it? Is there worry? Is there pride? Is there fear? Is there something in your life today that it keeps you from trusting God? Today you can lay it down. You can say, God, I declare from this moment forward, I make a decree, the Lord, that from this day forward, this issue will no longer hinder my relationship with you. Why? Because I choose to make you greater than what it is in my life. And that's when the Holy Spirit will come in and do what He does. Amen. So let us stand. And as we start the song, Pastor, after he's done, you can come forward and thank you so much.
Thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're good, good Father, you're good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I love by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching, and I've seen many searching for answers. But I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I love by. You're a good, good. in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Sing that again. You are perfect in all, Lord, so perfect. You are perfect to us. Love so undeniable. Love so undeniable. Speak peace so unexplainable. I can only think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me. Love, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I love about you. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect Lord, perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, how great. Oh, how great is your love that the Father has lavished upon us. How far are his arms open wide. How precious the blood. Listen to the words. Oh, how precious the blood that was given. Thank you, Lord, for my sins, that I should be called a child of God. You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I love by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I love by you. It's who I am. Who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.
You are
perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Lord, you are perfect to us. Love so undeniable. Love so undeniable. I can hardly speak a peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you love. You're a good, good God. Good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, perfect love. You are perfect in all. You are perfect in all of your ways. You love so, Lord. Perfect in all of your ways. To us.
Oh, how great.
Oh, how great is the love of the Father. Lavished upon us, how far his arms open wide.
Blood,
oh how precious the blood that was given for my sins, that I should be called a child of God. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I love about you. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Didn't you enjoy this today?
Yeah.
And give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. I'm always amazed at what God orchestrates. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I told you when I preached that sermon, only the Holy Spirit would have put a conjunction after the blood of the Lamb. No man would have said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and. We would all have said, no, it's only the blood of the Lamb. Do you understand the book that we're getting ready to write, how powerful those testimonies are going to be to this community? Didn't that touch your heart? That's what the blood of the Lamb does. It gives us all a testimony. Amen. Take time to love these guys. It breaks my heart when I hear kids growing up in a family and not knowing what love is. If there's one place you ought to find out where love is, it's in the house of God. Can we just love each other today? Love these men. You don't have to know them to love them. We're family through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Guys, we thank you so much for being here. Amen. Raise your hand, receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you, folks. Have a great week.